One thing we didn't ask for, we probably should have, since we didn't ask for it, we don't have it, the internet. You're laughing, I know. I don't understand it. I mean, this is crazy. Nobody's got internet in this area now, but they said, don't worry, we're going to have it fixed really quick around 3 o'clock, right after we finish. You can't help but to wonder if Satan's hand's not in that. And I say that because when I get up here today, it's a very important message. I'm bringing in part two of her sermon, and I hope I can keep you awake because you're going to need to concentrate on this one. This is starting to pull in a lot of the pieces of the puzzle that we've been building on for the last 7 years in the timeline. What it appears what's being, what I feel like God's sharing with me today is the spirit intent of what that timeline represented to help us understand the time we're in now from the spiritual perspective while the rest of the world is focused on the physical perspective. For example, Joe Biden said, we're going to have a dark winter. I had no idea that he was the one intended to bring it about. And I say that facetiously, but true. Because many of the things that's being brought about now continues to remove the principles of God Almighty. So it shouldn't be a surprise, because when we look at the scripture and we look at the duality of time, and this is how it began part one. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, referencing Jesus Christ, who was coming in a world filled with darkness. And he used that analogy throughout his entire ministry to his disciples, and he's left that for you and I, that we're the light, we're a beacon, we're the light that's upon a hill, a warning to this world, just like Jesus Christ was. He says, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And so as the rest of the world, as Joe Biden says, we're going to go into darkness. As the world gets darker, you get brighter. And you ever notice that you can do that? And I've done this before in sermons. I've put a candle up on a podium. And then little by little, we turn the lights off. And as the lights go off, that candle gets brighter and brighter, although its illumination didn't change. But the rest of the world gets darker. So it's the same way with you and I. So as this world gets darker, you don't have to change except to be close with God and let that spirit through you. And because the world gets darker, you're going to get brighter. And of course, that brings persecution, and we need to prepare for that. The series is called The Pre-War Normalization of America, and this is part two. And there will be a part three. I don't think I'll need one more besides this, or just one more. I don't think I'll need four. So you have to wonder, so what is pre-war normalization? So what is that in America? It's a condition and a time that we're going through. So the world will give you this as a definition. It is to modify, is to change, or to normalize the unacceptable behavior or actions of a nation to become the norm. So things that are going on now that you would not think anybody would ever do or believe or think has become normal. Or you can go a little bit further. It is the ability to have a nation normalize and accept dehumanization. Because see, that's what the other nations have done with people, is that they reach a state that that person doesn't deserve to live. You dehumanize human life. You're seeing that, whether you're paying attention to it or not, right now being brought out in many areas of our nation, is that creates such a hatred that's being instilled that it becomes normal. So the analogy I'm using here is pre-war Germany, is where it became so normal to hate the Jews. And show you why today they're hating what they hate is coming out today. So is the normalize and accept the dehumanization of another human being as normal behavior to assault, abuse, and criminalize those who disagree. You notice that people now can watch someone being beaten in the street and kicked and mugged and they walk by like nothing's happening? It's like, that's normal. That's the nation that you and I are moving into. So this is the time frame and the timeline in which we're working on right now. Hitler was elected to office in 1933. In God's timeline, we're at this stage today that we're not talking about building more events, but filling in the spiritual significance of what God showed us to understand of what's going to happen today. So if you could understand by looking at the past, when you hear the news, your mind's going to ring. It's going to come clear, like a light just went off inside of you, and all of a sudden Scripture is going to be popping in your head. And that's the importance of what I'm trying to pull in, the different timelines, because as I'm working on these events, when I see the news, in my mind, I'm seeing, boom, 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 all these things are popping in place now. And I'm praying that God gives me the wisdom on how to deliver these messages each week to make what's going on out there make sense, because God has already showed us it's going to happen. So here, the previous timelines, we laid out the events that were prophesied that would come to pass. From those timelines, God gives us the insight to the spiritual warfare that we'll face in the duality of events to come to pass in our time. So now, pre-war normalization. So I'm talking about before the literal war took place. Remember, Jesus Christ said there was a war in heaven. So during the time before we have a World War III, which the Bible seems to indicate there will be, the period of time between that time to way back, where in Hitler's day, it was 1925 when he actually began the stormtroopers. They were SA back then, or the brown shirts. And he began to move the nation of Germany to begin to accept that these thugs that were on the street, pushing and shoving, attacking, trying to put the pressure over on the military and the politicians, became the norm through this whole period of time. As the world got worse and worse and worse, or as we say in this day and time, we're going to have a dark winter. As that got darker, the acceptance of the thugs became more prominent. In other words, we need help, we'll take any help we can get. So in this timeline, we're focusing on when prophecy becomes current events. And I'm going to show you today that you're living in the time of prophecy coming to pass. But we need to recognize what it is. It becomes the news. So by understanding the events of pre-World War II, you understand how the events of today and how they lead people to the prophetic fulfillment of war. So it shouldn't surprise anybody that things are going to get worse. We need to embrace that, understand it's going to happen, and be prepared to care for whoever God sends our way in the middle of those battles. Because there is going to be an innumerable multitude of people who are going to come out of tribulation. Okay. Foundation. Pre-war normalization period of time. January 30th, 1933. So now watch how these things begin to parallel. And I'm going to show you something today from the speech, the inaugural acceptance speech of President Biden. And I'm going to show you that what I believe from his words is almost as if Satan was channeling his plan to destroy mankind. From three sentences. From just three sentences in that speech. So I need to work up to what I'm going to show you today and show you is as if Satan has just taken to mock God, put it in front of everybody. While everybody's thinking there's something going on behind the scenes, a secret, Satan puts it right there in front of everybody, and he hides it not. And I'm going to bring that out and show you today. When I saw that, in that speech, and I watched it live, when I saw that, my hair went up on the back. I said, this is a complete defiance of the power of God, what I was listening to. Now, I'm not going to cover the whole speech. I'm going to cover three sentences that were stated, 1, 2, 3. And I'm going to break them down against Scripture. January 30th, 1933, Hitler takes office. Now let's begin to compare the events of pre-World War Germany to the events of today. January 20th, 2021, Biden takes office. What are we looking at here? So let me give you the quotes of how these two men began the leadership of their nations. You ready? This is going to shock you. Hitler said, delivered 3 days after he was given the chancellery, the power over Germany, he said, the task before us is the most difficult which has faced the German statesman in living memory. Biden, Few periods in our nation in history have been more challenging or difficult than the one we are in now. It is a once-in-a-century virus silently stalking the country. Hitler went on. The starving industrial proletariat, or the working class, have become unemployed in their millions, while the whole middle class and the artisan class have been made paupers. And Biden went on to say, it's taken many lives in 1 year, and America lost in World War II. Millions of jobs have been lost, and hundreds of thousands of businesses have been closed. They are running the exact same parallel in the time of which they lived. Now, let's go a little further. How about the primary goal? The primary goal of Adolf Hitler was, the national government will therefore regard it as its first and supreme task to restore the German people to unity in the mind and will. Does that ring a bell? Unity? Biden said in his primary goal, to overcome these challenges and to restore the soul and to secure the future of America requires more than words. It requires that the most elusive things in a democracy, unity. So while they're coming and saying it's the worst time in history, we need unity to restore things. So I believe what God's giving us is a powerful testimony of his people for the former, the latter, the spiritual, and the physical. So what are we looking at? Here, and this continues to pop up every time I turn around and listen to a politician. Restore the soul. See, that's what Satan's in the battle for. He's after your soul. He's after your soul. So now look at Germany. The supreme task to restore the unity of the mind and will. What is the mind and will? It's the soul of the people. So what they're trying to do is to unify, to have your soul. So I began to see this as they began his speech. Now, this isn't the three sentences yet. I'm just showing you how they began their service to their nation. And it was almost as if Satan has put it out there. I'm coming after the soul of the people. How are you going to get it? I'm going to have unity. So how did they get unity? Well, let's go look and see how to get the unity. Ezekiel 8:4 says this, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. So you're in a battle for the soul of the people. That's what Hitler was going for, and that's what today is going for. So now let's take a look at this. How did Hitler get this unity? All right, so I got a little circle here. Hitler did this unity in two ways. First, he silenced political opposition. I'm sure you've seen the news. Now, I'm not going into all of that today here because there's not enough time. I will go into that in more detailed news nuggets and insights because we cover more of the news aspects of the prophecy in the news nuggets and insights. Where I'm here today in church, I cover more of the biblical insight of how the news applies today. What was the second way? What do you think the second way was? He began his assault on the Jews. Remember, former, latter, physical, spiritual. The Jews were the physical nation that was being restored back at the beginning of the time of the fig tree when Jesus Christ began to lay out the plans for his return over the course of the last 100 years. So now, let's look at the unity now with Biden. So what is Biden doing? Look at this quote. This is out of Forbes. For all the rich people and all the good people in power and control, this is out of Forbes. Let it be known to the business world. Hire any Trump fellow fabulous, and Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie. What was the first thing Hitler did? Silence the opposition. Now, this is a quote right out of Forbes. Did you see how bad this just got? Now, it's worse than this. It gets worse than this, but I won't be able to get into all that today. It says, we're going to scrutinize, double-check, and investigate with the same skepticism we'd approach a Trump tweet, Randall wrote, for Forbes magazine. In other words, if you have anything to do with the opposition, you now beware. We're going to have unity, even if I have to destroy you to get it. All right, so now let's move on. Let's bring in a biblical perspective. What's the second thing that has to be done? It says, this is the remnant of the seed, Revelation 12, 17, that keep the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In Germany was the physical. You're at the latter day. What is the latter day? This is the spiritual Israelites. The spiritual Israelites that's going to be under assault. Revelation 12, 17 says that. Who are they? They are the ones who have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is the second thing, like Hitler did. He went after those who are of the lineage of the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who he's after. Now, for those who say, well, I'm not an Israelite, I beg to differ. If you look into the New Testament, it says those who have the Spirit of God are Israelites. Now, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. And this is where the world has gotten off track. And I'm going to show you some of that when they go after white supremacy or white superiority. It doesn't make any difference. It's not the color of your skin. It's the foundation of your nationality, which is of the house of God. This you need to understand. I'm going to show you step by step how that all comes into play. So now, here we have political opposition and going after God's people. He began his assault on the Jews, and in our day and time, you're beginning to see the assault on God's people. This is going to be the Israelites. So now, does that look familiar to you? Now, I did this for a reason. I don't have time to go into this whole screen, but I want to bring something out and show you. I began this message today telling you that what God is doing now, he's taking all these messages we've been building these timelines on. Boy, what I love, I've been praying about how to do this, and I don't know how to do it, so we might need some help. Wouldn't it be nice if we built us a giant chart, and we take a timeline of the last 100 years, and we go through all the timelines of all these series, and we begin pointing and putting in all the spots on this timeline. And in that timeline, as new events occur, we take those new events. You know, Glenn Beck could do this really good. He's got all them boards everywhere. And you put that event in and see where it lines up. I'm going to tell you what's going to be unveiled is you're going to see prophecy coming to pass step by step as you continue to work that board. Because of what he's already told us, they will fit in everything in place. So now let me show you how and why I'm telling you this today. This is a timeline from a couple years ago on the day of the Lord in the roaring seas. That goes back almost 3 years, two different times. But in that is the fulfillment of what this just happened that you're looking at today taking place. Where? Right here and right here. It is a prophecy that's coming to pass of Isaiah 66 and verse 8. And the first half of the verse says, shall the earth be made to bring forth in a day, or shall a nation be born at once? In type, you have Israel being born in a day, in type, at once. 1948. Exactly 430 years after the time they were put out of that land. Today, what's going on today? Following through with that verse, we pick up, world shall be born at once, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Who are her children? These are the lost tribes of Israel, the spiritual Israelites, all those who believe in Jesus Christ. So you have the former Hitler, you have the latter taking place today. So what I'm showing you right here, you're living in a prophetic moment in time. You're beginning to see the beginning of the fulfillment of Isaiah 66 and verse 8. And it's going to lead into something. All right, what is it going to lead into? By aligning the timeline to the current events of our day, we can understand that we are at the beginning stages of the fulfillment of Isaiah 66 and verse 8. This gives us the insight that will lead into what? The time of Jacob's trouble. You're there. So you want to understand where we're going? You want to get yourself wrapped around what's coming? You go to Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Or read the chapter of Jeremiah 30. And you begin to understand what it is. What the world doesn't know is they don't know who that is. You do. Because God has given us the truth. So now, look what's going on when I say they're going after the religious right. It says, there has to be consequences. This is a quote that I'm giving you. Leftists call Trump supporters to be punished or deprogrammed. 75 million out there. Now, let me tell you this. You might say, well, listen, I'm not a Trump supporter. it doesn't make any difference. You just got lumped in whether you like it or not. If you don't agree with the left's policy, abortion, the gay rights, the LGBT, and everything they're doing, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you hate Trump or not, you had just been put into that category. Get that in your heads. That's where it's at right now. They're lumping everybody in who doesn't agree with policy. Why do I know that? Because I was showed that from Hitler. And I see it's beginning to happen right now. Those who recognized it in pre-World War II Germany, in late 20s and the early 30s, who saw it coming, got out of Germany. They left. They knew it was coming. Today they're saying, this is America. That can't happen here. It's true. That's what they're saying. But look at this. This is from the Washington Post. Washington Post columnist Eugene Robinson, New York Times Magazine, Nicole Hannah-Jones, who agreed that there is a need for millions of America, almost all white, almost all Republicans, to be deprogrammed and punished before the country should move on to reconciliation. How come nobody's calling this hate speech? Not hate speech. It's accepted. What did we just say? This is the normalization of America you're looking at. Pre-war normalization. How do we get war to be able to go after those people? You have to begin to program them to accept that these people, just like the Jews in World War II, that's what you're looking at here. So now, let me give you an example of normalization against evangelicals. Twitter suspends Christian magazine for saying Biden's trans nominee is not a man, he's a woman. This is the Assistant Secretary of Health, if you're wondering. That's a mental case. But that's the guy who's running the health department. That's a guy. It's a guy. He's a man, not a woman. So the Christian magazine said that. It says the Daily Citizen, January 19, tweeted the President Obama's nominee Assistant Secretary of Health is Rachel Levine. Rachel Levine is a transgender woman that is a man who believes he's a woman. That's the guy who's the Assistant Secretary of Health. Now that's not the issue here that I'm talking about. I'm issuing what they're telling and happening to people who think that's a problem. Somebody in the audience just said that's an abomination, and it is. And God's going to come, and they're going to pay a price for that. Twitter locked the magazine out of its account for informing the publication that violated Twitter rules using forbidding hateful conduct and voice. Violence. They locked them out. But the other one says we have to go attack these people before the country can move on. That's not hate speech. I mean, you can see, obviously, the difference in it. So the magazine responded, insisted that it never promoted hate or violence. As a Christian organization, we would never do so. We simply explain to our readers the appointment and define what transgender women are. They're born male who believe that they're a woman, regardless of whether they have had opposite sex hormones or surgeries. That's all they were saying. That's hate speech. Censor them. Take them out. You're going to find the time is coming that they will begin putting them in jail. Why do I know that? Because that's what Germany did. And you're following the same pattern. What God has given you and I is the pattern of the physical and the spiritual. So they're going to go after those who spiritually cannot accept this and tell the rest of the world it's evil, it needs to be repented of, it needs to be changed. So now, unity. Hitler and Biden both ran on the policy of unification of a nation. Hitler was preaching unity to everyone while he was building a war machine to conquer the world. That's what he's doing. Peace and unity. Adolf Hitler's speeches. There's this book of them. There's thousands of speeches he gave. This is 1922 to 1939, the book out of the Oxford University Press. March 23, 1933. The German nation wishes to live in peace with the rest of the world. May 1933. The German government wishes to come to a peaceful agreement with other nations on difficult questions. 1934. If it rests with Germany, war will not come again. Every time that man built a league of peace with that nation, you knew his next step was to conquer that nation. And that's what's going on right now in America. He was building secretly across Germany. They were taking all of these empty warehouses that sat vacant from World War I, and he retooled everything, and he was building a war machine, while at the same time, he had the 36 Olympics telling the rest of the world, we're here for peace. We're here for unity. We're here for love. While that's going on, he's building his war machine that nobody knew about. But somebody did know about this. I'm going to tell you a story here you may not have seen. It comes in a movie. I think it's called Castles in the Sky. It's a movie from 2014. Talk about an incredible story. It's about this man right here, Robert Watson. Watson what? The inventor who helped win the Battle of Britain. So now why am I telling you this? Follow what I'm going through here. It was 1935 that he was beginning to ask to build a system to find out if the Germans could have a ray gun. All right, here's what was going on. As the clouds of war loomed over Great Britain, worrying rumors reached Whitehall, 1934. This is as early as 1934. He was put in power in 33. A year later, what's he doing? He's got his war machine being built behind closed doors. Wallace telling the world, we want peace. If war comes, it isn't going to come with us, as he continued to build his war machine, which nobody knew about, except the spies in Great Britain. All right, it's going on. He said, our spies in Germany have claimed that the Nazis have developed a death ray, which was capable of destroying aircraft. Using radio waves, it was said to be so potent that it had the capability of raising buildings to the ground, and the info left the war ministry in a state of panic. So they didn't know if they could really do that or not, but if they did that, then the rest of the world would have no chance. They got raised stuff like that now. They didn't have it back then, but they were working on it. So they called this guy, who was a meteorologist. In his meteorology, he was studying sound waves, bouncing them off of aircraft or bouncing them off of mountains or objects to begin to detect things moving in the distance to understand the weather. So they brought this guy in 1935 to see if this is possible to build a radar gun, a ray gun. Well, they found it wasn't, but they found that it was possible to build a system to detect movement coming in from a distance. All right, this Watson Watt was the Scottish meteorologist scientist. He developed the advanced warning system for using radio waves. Following over 3 years of development, his team created a system codenamed Chain Home, which was a chain link of towers, which they call them castles. They were building castles on top of these towers across Great Britain that would be able to take and create a line of defense that when Germany would decide to send its planes over to Great Britain, they could detect them before they got to the sea. This was in 35 to 38, while Germany's still saying peace. They knew war was coming. So why am I telling you that? Remember, we think it's spiritual here. It was the advanced warning system. So the question, why am I telling you this? Why is this important to you and I? What does that have to do with you and I? God's advanced warning system. It says, but to every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. James 1 says that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are also the first fruits of his spirit. Very similar to Watson Watts saving Britain, God tells you and I, if not for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved. If it wasn't for that man doing his job in developing a system to protect Great Britain would have fell to the calamity of the Germans. He is the man who has been, he was awarded, he was served, he was knighted for developing what he did, and he was the one guy that was given for the award for saving Great Britain in the Battle of Great Britain and the planes coming through. If it wouldn't have been for this system, the United States would not have been in the war yet. Great Britain would have gone down and things would have been different, totally different than they are today. You and I are in a battle. While this administration and all the people who are on the left are saying we want unity, we want peace, we need to all get along and agree, there's a war being built. This is a war machine that's being built to go after God's elect, and you are those on the front lines, the advanced team that God says. And if not for you, like Great Britain, no flesh would be saved. How important is that to you and I? So what I'm showing you here is that even in the pre-war Germany, God has left us an example of how important it is for you and I to do our job. So from now until whatever time it is Christ comes, you and I are going to be building that radar system. You and I are going to be sending out God's spiritual waves into this world so that whoever comes in touch with those waves can get in touch with God, be brought to repentance, and to be waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And if not for God's people, no flesh are going to be saved. We need to put that in our heads, how important that is. It's not a game. It's not sitting here in a prayer breakfast worried about what's going to come. It's talking about what really is and is going to happen. And if you're going to be alive for at least the next 5 to 10 years, maybe in our lifetime it's going to happen. God says, I have made you the watchman. Go back into Ezekiel. Ezekiel was sent to the house of Israel. The house of Israel had already been captive. That is sent to an end time spiritual house of Israel, you and I. Ezekiel 33:2, and I'm not going to go through that whole chapter, but the whole chapter is about the watchman. It's the Son of Man, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man in their coast, isn't that amazing? In their coast. What's in what? Put his stuff all along Great Britain's coast. Put a man out there to watch. And he put his machines, and they would be able to detect when they were coming. So as soon as they seen the Germans rise up and get into the air, they begin to send their British fighters out and meet them before they got to Great Britain and help save that nation. Send a man on their coast and set him for a watchman. And it made his name was Watson Watt. Sometimes some things aren't coincidental, are they? Ezekiel 2:3-5. He said to me, Son of Man, I send you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation. For they're impudent children, stiff-hearted. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, whether they're going to hear you or not. So I'm telling you, whether your people want to hear you or not, whether your families want to hear you or not, you tell them anyway. He says, and they shall know that a prophet had been among them, that you were there with the Spirit of God, and you warned them before it happened. You warned them of what's coming. Look at Biden's inauguration speech. Now I'm ready. That's the background for these three words, sentences I'm going to give you. I believe Biden just sent the declaration of war. I believe Satan was channeling through that man his plan to destroy this nation. And now I want to tend to tell you how and why I believe that. No conspiracies, nothing behind the scenes, right out front, in front of you and I, and what he just did versus what God says and show you what Satan has done right in front of our very eyes. Here's the 3 points of his speech. A cry for racial justice, some 400 years in the making, moves us. The dream of justice will for all be deferred no longer. 2, the cry, the survival comes from the planet itself, a cry that can't be any more desperate and any more clear. And now arise in the political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat. That is a declaration of war. He laid it out. He told you why, how long, what's going to be at stake, and who he's going after. Now, let's put that in biblical terms, what he just said. Here's the 3 points of his speech. The cry, 400 years in the making. That's interesting. 400 years in the making. A cry of survival from the planet itself. That has a ring from the Bible, doesn't it? All right, I'm going to get back to him in just a second. Political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism. Now, here in this congregation, we're fortunate to be half and half, half black and half white. Well, I don't even want to know what the right terms are. So if you think you're getting off because it says white supremacy, think again. Think again because it's not going to show you. I'm sure you how that's not going to work. So let's take the easiest one. A cry for survival from the planet itself. Look what God says in Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travail in pain until now. Satan knows that too. What's he going to do? We're going to turn everything green. We're going to create a utopia. What did Hitler say he was going to build? A 1,000-year reign. There's no mistaking the parallel of what's going on here. So that's an easy one. All right. So Satan just throws it out there. This is the justification for changing the planet and going green. But now, let's get into something that's very important here. What is 400 years in the making he's talking about? Now, you're going to think it's racial problems, but I'm going to show you that's a counterfeit. 400 years in the making, Satan has a counterfeit for everything he does. So you with me? So you have to keep your thinking caps on. Follow what this goes through here. So the question, what is Satan trying to counterfeit? Let's take a look at that. What is Satan trying to counterfeit? The end time prophecy that was given to Abraham. The former, remember, former, latter, physical, spiritual. Genesis 15:13. And he said to Abram, he said, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. What did he just say? This is 400 years in the making. What are we going into? We're going into the time of bringing this war to conclusion. He said 400 years is what Biden said. But look at this. The former and the latter, the physical and the spiritual. Let's just take the former. What was Abraham going through? You see the former being fulfilled in the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years. Now, I'm going to show you that that former is fulfilled in the latter in the physical sense with the nation of Israel or Judah, the nation of Israel that's over in the Middle East. It came to pass 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that the host of the Lord went from the land of Egypt. So this is where Abraham was given the prophecy. Those prophecies given to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, carrying through, were not completed until the Christ returns. What he's giving us is the former to look at what will happen at the later. All right, 430 years. So now, the later. Now, with the later, God blesses us with this. When you're looking at events that took place a long time ago, remember he says, if you want to know what I'm going to do, go look at what I did. So we can go all the way back here to this time to see where the prophecies were originated and were physically fulfilled in the former. That tells us what to go look for now in the latter. Now, in the latter, you have the physical and the spiritual. So when people tell me and they send me things like you think this is coming to pass, and I said, no, that has nothing to do with God. Because why? If it's not in God's plan, if he hasn't showed us, you don't have to really worry about it. You know, there's going to be a lot of things that isn't in the Bible, but when events that are important take place that features the return of Jesus Christ, they will have events of former and latter. They will also have this, a physical to look at to tell us how it's going to be spiritually. Something in history of our time that we can put it together. That's why Hitler in Germany is so important. Because that is the latter physical. Which brings us to the latter, when you and I, our time, spiritual. That makes sense? All right, so I'm trying to make where you can register. Because if you can't register it, you need to go back and look at it. Now, what God has done for us in our church, and I'll tell you, here's the blessing. For 7 years, we have put together timelines and events that put all of this together so that when we start putting what's taking place now, all we have to do is go pull the pieces of the puzzle and plug them in. And you plug them in. So now, the prophecy, the latter, the spiritual, and the physical. All right, so here's the physical and here's the spiritual. So let's take a look at those. 400 years to reestablish the physical nation of Israel is the physical we look at in the latter. The spiritual is 400 years to reestablish the spiritual nation who are the Israelites that we talked about in Revelation 12. That's you and I. So what was the 400 years Biden's talking about? What is he talking about 400 years? Because he's not looking for the building of God's people. He's talking about something totally different. What is he talking about? 400 years in the making. 1619. You might have heard there's a 1619 project. Let me show you what you're not being told. This is from the Catholic Star Herald. This is from the Catholic Church itself. The journey from 1619 for the Catholic Church. This is from this pastor. I know he's a priest. I don't call him father like they like to. So it's Dr. Davis Daniels reporting. It says, in 1619, we have the first recorded history of Africans being forcibly brought to the United States to an English colony. 1619. Daniel's article describes a 1619 letter from Bishop Manuel Batista Soros, described his anger that a 4,000-plus African Christians were taken by slave traders from modern-day Angola. History, we're all on the same page still. But now it begins to differ what was going on. Who sold them and what was going on in Angola? He went on to quote, I had the opportunity to go to the slave ports of Ghana that were built by the Portuguese, who were, of course, Catholics. While I was standing in one of the chambers where they had men incarcerated, right above it was built a chapel where they would say Mass. It was the Catholics of the Portuguese people of that nation who built these slave quarters while they had church going on upstairs who was selling the slaves to America. The Catholics. Why is that important today? What faith is Joe Biden? Catholic. All right. Who did Abraham Lincoln warn us about? The Catholics. 400 years in the making. All right. He went on to say, I remember literally losing my religion at that moment. That's where it all began. It all began right there. So where are we at right now? These 400 years. It was in 2019 that the Pope began his push to re-educate the entire world to become Catholic. 400 years in the making in America. Remember this? We covered this in News Nuggets and we covered it in the sermons. May 14, 2020 was the time it was going to take place. This is from 2019 that was put out there. So all together we could form young people and build a better future. That was when Pope Francis was meeting Greta Thunberg in April that year, orchestrating the next meeting, which would be in 2020. Why 2020? Because that's when God's plan began for America. 2020. 3 years after 2017. What's the difference of the 3 years? Just like the 3 days with Joshua. He says, be prepared, in 3 days you're going to go over that Jordan. You and I are living in the time that you had just crossed over the Jordan and are ready to go to the Promised Land. And the battle lies ahead. Here's what Abraham Lincoln wrote. Remember, we covered this just last year. In Clouds on the Horizon, and then we covered it from Lessons in Lincoln. It says, the common people see and hear the big noisy wheels of the Southern Confederacy. They call Jeff Davis, Lees, Toombs, Beauregard, Sims. They honestly think that they're the motive and the first cause of our troubles, he said, but that's a big mistake. The true motive is secreted behind the thick walls of the Vatican. The Civil War he's talking about. The colleges, the schools, the Jesuits, the convents, the nuns, the confessional boxes of Rome. There is a fact too much ignored by the American people with which I am acquainted only since I became the president. God gave him a priest who was there for 50 years and who left the Catholic faith and had put him at Abraham Lincoln's disposal to teach him about what was going on with the Catholics. And he realized that he couldn't change the mindset of the South and the slavery. That was the mindset of the Catholic people who had control of all of that. What went back 400 years? It was the Catholics who were selling them to America, the people. They dehumanized people. Satan's showing you come in circle. 400 years in the making. Going on right now. Leading families of the South to receive their education in part, if not in whole, by the Jesuits and the nuns. Hence, those degrading principles of slavery, pride, cruelty, which are a second nature among so many of those people. It was second nature to them. How do you build a church on top of slave quarters and sell people? That's what they did. That's what was going on in the South with slavery. And they go to church every Sunday. All right. Hence the strange want of fair play, humanity, that implacable hatred against the ideas of equality and liberty as we find in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Abraham Lincoln just showed you what's going on today. Why do they hate Christians? Because you don't agree with their theology. What is the theology? It's a spiritual way of keeping people in bondage to Satan. It's a whole different type of slavery that people don't recognize. Try to keep an eye on my time. It began moving as early as 1960. It began with the school prayer removal by who? The Catholics. But then abortion, same-sex marriage. By 2015, we had the Pope in America marking his territory, setting his boundary lines, showing us who he's going after. What did Biden just do in those three points I just showed you? He told you how long it's going to be, the condition of the world, and who I'm going after. It was almost like Satan has channeled to him exactly where he's going to. Where does he pick his pieces up? Right here. 2015, right here in America. And God has showed us all of that was going on. So now, there's the physical and there's the spiritual. So let's take a look at the physical. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we've covered a lot of this before. But I'm going to show you now how this event from the day of the Lord now, pulling that piece in. How that ties into where we're at in the fig tree, the timing of the day of the Lord, the events and the return of Jesus Christ. So the fig tree, there are three specific times that focus on the beginning of the season of the fig tree. The very first is 1917. 1917, when they went in, right? They went into Jerusalem on 1917. It's also the year that America went to war in the First World War. We see it's the fulfillment of a prophecy. The two prophecies were coming to pass. Once was the Great Britain moving back into Jerusalem. 400 years. The prophecy was showed in Haggai 2, in these three verses, 10, 18, and 20, on the 24th day of the ninth month. On that specific day that Haggai talked about control and Ken moving back into the land of Israel, they moved back into Jerusalem on the very day, unchallenged. 400 years in the making. 30 years later was the foundation of the document for the establishment of modern-day Israel, which was basically Jerusalem or the Jews. It became 1948 that they actually took place. So now I'm not going to go here. They're talking about this is the 48 and the time they became the state, 1967. By the way, that's a prophecy here too, because you can't have armies surrounding Jerusalem unless they had control of Jerusalem. So in 1967, they were given Jerusalem. So here's the modern-day Israelites that the world doesn't know about. So that was the physical. Now we move to the spiritual, the latter day. It says, "Now therefore you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut you off your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name like the great men who are on the earth. And I will appoint," future tense, right? Future tense. Again, this is from, in this timeline series, this is from the rebirth of Israel. Talking about an end-time rebirth of an Israel, a modern-day Israel today, the lost tribes of Israel. It says, "I will appoint a place, my people Israel, and will plant them, and they will dwell in the place of their own." So now, when God gave this to David, they were in the promised land. They were there. So God was talking about another place, not over there, where they think it's Israel today, is over here. The modern-day prophecies of the United States, in Great Britain, basically. It's also repeated in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 9. All right, so now, 1620, let's look at the 400 years. 400 years to 2020, the Plymouth Colony. That's when the Puritans, or the separatists, known as the Pilgrims, they returned to England from exile in the Netherlands, and you will see that all of the tribes of Israel primarily had moved north and northwest into all the Scandinavian countries and Great Britain and France. All of those people who moved there were of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so they were Israel. They were the fair-skinned, the white Caucasian. They were of the lineage. Right? Who are they going after today? The white Caucasian. Why is that? It's not about the skin color, because no matter what skin color you are, they're going after you too. If you accept the theology and the truth that you are the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what skin color you is in you, it's who you are. You are a new creature in Christ. You need to get this in your head. They're going after you too. You see what I'm talking about? Watch. Let's go through that now. Then they settled in Plymouth Harbor, and they built a site for their colony. So now, to understand the latter spiritual, you go back to the 3 points. The time frame of the 400 years is connected to those being targeted. Connected to those who are being targeted. Why the 400 years in the making? Because Satan's been waiting for his opportunity to destroy God's people. Remember it says in Revelation, there's a war in heaven. And he's going back, he's going to make war with the remnant of the seed. Who are those people? They are the people who have Jesus Christ. Those are the physical nation of Israel and the spiritual nation who came over into America. All right? They came into America. So now, see verse 3, the third point. And now a rise in political extremism and white supremacy. Now, here's something we need to understand. This is nothing negative. It's all positive. But here's what people misunderstand and why Satan's so mad. What is white privilege? Now, people don't want to talk about this because this sounds racial. It's not. This is spiritual. This is spiritual. Is that right? Stick with me. Let me show you. White privilege and supremacy is that what Satan wants to destroy. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, "And you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord will set you high above all nations on the earth." He said that to his nation Israel. He said, if you listen to me, you're going to be greater than all the nations on the earth. So the people today says, who do those people think they are? They think they're better than us? No, we're not any better. We were just more blessed. Because that's what God said. Now here's the thing. If you chose to be a part with that nation, didn't matter whether you were born or not, if you were grafted in, you too are blessed above all nations. You see, it's spiritual, but the world doesn't want you to know that. Because you see, it has to fight something it can physically recognize, not spiritually. Because they don't understand spiritually. Look at Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than the other, because you were the fewest people of all. But because the Lord loved you and because he kept his oath he had sworn to your fathers. Because of what he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, because of what those men did, we are blessed. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what your skin color is today. If you do what God tells you to do, the generations coming after you and those born for 1,000 years are going to be blessed because of what you do today. If you keep his commandments and you keep the testimony of Jesus Christ and you don't get taken offside with this stupid nonsense of this racial stuff that's out there trying to pull everybody into the ditch. It's Jesus Christ and the blood's the same with all men. It's crazy what's going on out there. But people are buying into it. And I remember having a discussion with a gentleman who's a leader of one of the churches. And he says, Tom, you can't tell me that God did this. And I said, yes, he did. Go look at the scriptures. God chose the nation of Israel, not because they were better than anybody else. There was the love that he had for Abraham that followed through to Isaac and Jacob. And he swore to them. He says, because of you guys, I'm going to take care of your generations for forever. Through those people, their families, you have the bloodline of Jesus Christ for you and I, where all nations will be saved. And because of them, you've been called and given the truth and the understanding of where we are today. Now you don't buy into the nonsense that's out there. And you hold fast to the truth that's God given to you and to me. But look what it says, the political extremism. Let me put it in spiritual terms. The political extremism is not clearly spelled out by the public, but is normally applied to individuals or organizations that do not agree with mainstream politics. On the spiritual side, it will be addressed to those who are biblical principled rather than man's laws, the kingdom or not of this world. Physical, spiritual, those are the extremists. What are we looking at here on the white supremacy? At the present, we understand the usage is focused on the white race and their supremacy regardless of God's instructions. On the spiritual side, this is Satan's way of going after the remnant who are called out, the called out ones, the spiritual Israelites. We're thinking internally. And last, Revelation 12:17 tells us who they are. The dragon was wroth with the woman. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? It is the spirit of prophecy. It's being able to be speaking with the inspired word of God. It's what I saw in all of you today in that prayer breakfast as we sat around that circle. It's God's word inspired, spoke through you in your lips to share with everyone else. That is through the prophetic word of the inspired word of God Almighty. And it's the spirit dwelt through you. No different than he's doing with me here from the pulpit today. Satan is going after anyone who has those two. I'm asking you, show me where it's black or white there. Show me where it's brown, red, yellow. See, Satan knows who he's going after. Joe Biden told you who he's going after, but the world doesn't recognize who that is. That is Satan channeled right through Biden himself in those 3 points of who he's going after, why, and his counterfeit to get it done. And it was done on the very first day, within minutes after taking his oath of office. It paralleled identical to Adolf Hitler. And it shows us where the world is going. The domestic terrorism says we must confront and we will defeat. Domestic terrorism. I'll pick that up next time. It's going to go into just like with Pharaoh. So I will not let you go. Remember he went after Moses? What are you doing, Trump? He's out of office. Right? You're going to go impeach a guy to get him out of office who's already out of office. Now, anywhere else in the world, that don't make any sense. Only in Washington, D.C. can that make sense. Now, I'm not justifying the fact of Trump who he is. I think he's done a lot of good, and I think there's a lot of things he could have done better. I'm talking about the mindset of what's going on. And don't think for a moment they're going to let you go. They're not going to let you go. If you have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, Satan knows where to find you. He is going after you. And I'm going to show you how that went on within the past before. So we'll talk about impeachment. We'll talk the assault on free speech, the assault on the conservative press, the censoring of the right, and the assault on the conservative Christian. We'll talk about all that in the next time. And then I'm going to share with you something else you may not have heard before, unless you caught yesterday's news nuggets and insights. Did you know the Bible talks about, from the book of Genesis, an end-time civil war, a prophecy that has not been fulfilled, that will be fulfilled in our day. People say they're looking for a civil war, and they're looking for people to fight. It's not going to be the kind of fight you're thinking about. The Bible shows us an end-time civil war from a prophecy in Genesis. And I'm going to talk about that as we conclude this series next time on pre-war normalization of America.